Oh, here we go again.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
What is that, ostrich?
Hell no, that's python.
It's Sturdy's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. We are at Twin Peaks off 290. Come on up and hang out for this Football Friday. We got plenty of seats. The beer's cold. It keeps jumping between 27.9 degrees and 30.1 degrees. Either way it goes, when it hits your lips, baby, it's going to be cold. Come on through. I had me some of them Tyler's Tenders. I had Tyler's Tenders.
Tore those up, man.
Yeah, look, I gave Tyler hell for about 2-3 years about eating them tenders, and then I'm over here eating them myself.
What are Tyler's Tenders?
Well, they're just tenders. Most grown men don't eat tenders, and then except for Tyler, so I gave him a hard time about it. And then here I am sitting here eating some finger food, and I look over here, and old Sean Bajani's on them little bitty cold beers, too. As another one of them no-nos right there.
It's supplemented with the bacon.
Nope. Yeah, like eating like a kid over there. Eating like a kid, drinking
Mr.
like
chicken
you're
tenders.
Come on, man. Get out of here.
Come on, man. There ain't nothing wrong with some chicken tenders. Come on.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, Colin. I'm just telling you, man. I'm not real comfortable when I look the young lady in the eye and tell her I want some tenders. I'm not real comfortable with it. That's why I got to joke about it and say Tyler's tenders.
Hold on. And then Clint asked for, can I also get some celery and carrots on the side?
Yeah, I didn't want my French fries. I didn't want fries.
I'm upset that they didn't have any carrots.
Well, look, I've already told you guys, man. By the way, before you quit being an a-hole, Dirty's Daily. Dirty's Daily today, right? Dirty's Daily is powered by none other than Bajani Fence Brokers. Give me your info, man.
Sean Bajani Fence Company.
Come on, man.
SMB Fence Co.
There you go. How can we find you? If anybody out there looking for some fence business, how can we find you?
Appreciate you. Find me on Facebook, SMB Fence Company. You can find me on Twitter, at Sean Bajani. You can also give me a shout on the DMs, and I will hit you back quick with a quote.
SMB Fence Company on Facebook. Come on, man. You're looking for a fence. I've seen the work. It's good stuff. Go ahead and get it done.
Got two quotes tomorrow.
Get it done, y'all.
Get at me.
Get at him. That's what Dirty's Daily is powered by today. But here's the deal.
Do I owe you anything?
Nah, you don't owe me nothing, okay, man. Good. Just before you talked your way out of that little promo right there.
Clint, that was an opportunity right there, man.
Nah, man, I know it ain't, man. I don't take advantage, man. I've never been one to do so.
What a good guy.
Look, spend a little more time around me, Colin. Hopefully it'll wear on you a little bit.
You're all right after all.
Yeah, buddy, yeah. A bit. A lot of talk about this Texans offense, and a lot of talk about, you know, I'm guilty of it, creativity and having answers and, you know, the big last week, it was to me in this offense last week, there were two throws that were missed by 10 to 15 yards by C.J. Stroud that just can't happen if you're going to be that tier quarterback, right? We talk a lot about this throw and that throw and having answers for this pressure and that pressure and how soon they should be having success.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked a little bit about this earlier in the week. Like, this offense just isn't about that. This offense is just not about good, bad, or indifferent. This offense is just not going to be about your quarterback being able to put the team on his back and go make these Superman-type plays and have those kind of games. This offense is not about whether he makes or misses the two or three throws that were there that would have blew the game open. This offense is about the in-depth details of play in, play out, managing the offense, knowing the offense like the back of your hand, being able to communicate the offense at an elite level, being able to have answers for the right answer for everything. I've said this a million times. I wish there was a way, and hell, there may be nowadays, I wish there was a way that we could gauge or measure, if you will, how often Tom Brady was right. Because if you go look at Tom Brady, the reason this is relevant is because everything Houston is doing is what the offense is what Tom Brady was running in New England. I mean, he was watching – C.J. Stroud was watching Tom Brady 2004 film of this offense. And so what they're doing is as closely related to Tom Brady's offense as anything out there, right? So it's the only reason I bring Tom Brady up. But when you look at Tom, like, there's really no way to measure arm talent, arm strength, athletic ability, all this, all that. It's the least sexiest highlight film on the planet of any quarterback that's been a title winner, right? And he did it seven times, right? But I wish there was a way to measure what percentage of the time he was right.
Yeah.
Run to run, checking the ball down versus throwing it deep. You know, how many times did he make the right decision? And that is what this offense is about. Because I guarantee you, Tom Brady was right 99% of the time.
There's a way, but that's a lot of legwork.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't believe somebody out there hadn't done it. I can't believe with AI now we hadn't figured out a way to do it.
There's one guy that I know would go back and do that, and his name is John Gruden.
I say all that to say that is what this offense is about. It's about being right. It's not about having the talent to stretch the field. It's not about, you know, all the other Superman-type stuff. You know, boy, does he use his legs? What's your top-end speed? All that silly crap people were asking C.J. Stroud early in the year. I want you to listen to this, and it's a little bit longer piece of audio, but I want you to listen to this. This is Tom Brady discussing, you know, him and Belichick and kind of how they prepared. And really, this is the question that you got to ask yourself. Can C.J., D'Amico, and Nick Caley, can they do what Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and really McDaniel, obviously, but Tom Brady and Bill Belichick did? Tom Brady talks about it here. Can they get it done here?
That's where Bill was actually so great. And no one saw him in those moments like we did. And Saturday night, we were so prepared and so focused. We were the opposite of tight.
Really?
We were always relaxed because we had the answers to the test. I knew that I went through the call sheet, and let's say we had 150 calls on the call sheet. There was a meeting at a squad meeting at 8 o'clock. I would meet with the quarterback starting at 6:30 in the offense corner. We'd go through every single play on the call sheet, and we'd do exactly what we did. Okay, this is a play. This is the run. What's the one thing that could mess this run up? Oh, a safety blitz off the right side. Okay, great. What do you want to do if that happens? So I'd walk to the line of scrimmage. That call was made. I'd break the huddle. I'd look to the line of scrimmage. I'd say, okay, the only problem I have on this play is if the safety's blitzing off the right side. And then I would just look for it. Oh, and he only did it, let's say, 5% of the time. So most coaches would just say, I just run the play, whatever. If they get lucky and call at the same time, one for them. And that's not how I played, because that one play could mean everything.
Right.
So I would say, no. If it's a 5% chance it could happen, I would tell the line, okay, if this guy's blitz, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to check to this play called Wolf or called Beetle or called Python, whatever we wanted to call it. This is what I'm going to do. Or I'm going to check to a screen, Liz, Rip. I'm going to change the protection and go to Greta or Grape.
That's
fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I love Tom Brady in the media. I love Tom Brady on social media. Other than when he's I don't mind when he's putting his arm around Alex Earl, who Braxton Berrios' ex-girlfriend. I wonder, and that's an old teammate, briefly a teammate.
She upped her game a little bit.
Yeah, she may be trying to up a little bit, up the age too. That's for damn sure.
Nothing against Braxton, but I mean,
but you know that just to give you a peek, that to me that is what we're trying to get accomplished here. So often we've watched Josh Allen and we've watched Lamar Jackson and we've watched Pat Mahomes. And as fans, we sit here and we see C.J. Stroud do some things with his arm and make some throws. And you're like, yeah, that's it right there. And in reality, if this offense is ever going to play at a level where this is a more complete team and not a defensive-driven team, those are the kind of things that C.J. and D'Amico and Nick Caley are going to have to do. We're still talking about getting out of the huddle on time. We're still talking about, that was communicated well last week. Was we're peaking at the right moment. And you scored, I mean, you scored 14 points in the first five minutes, and then what, six the next?
Yeah,
the rest of 3.5 quarters. They're still to use one of Brady's terms. They're still playing tight, if you will. Everything's tight. And the one thing that stuck out to me, there was, he said, if this or that happened, I would just tell my offensive line, hey, I'm going to go do this, I'm going to go do that, I'm going to go do this. I always talk about the moment that C.J. Stroud takes the bull by the horns with this particular offense is when we're going to know, okay, it's taking off. Now, I don't know if he has the ability to do it, because I'm talking about the greatest to ever do it from a mental perspective. And from a preparation perspective, I don't know if he's going to be able to do it. But when I talk about C.J. Stroud grabbing a bull, this is what I'm talking about. Like, don't And Nick Caley has to facilitate it to a certain extent. But once there's a mechanism in the offense of like, hey, CJ, you can change the play at any point in time. Okay, now it comes down to, all right, I prepared and I know that this safety in the box to the strong side, I can't run the football that way.
Yeah.
Okay, now I've got the mechanism in the offense where I can say, check, 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 hey, I'm going to do this or that. Like, the moment that we see CJ do that, that's when, as a fan base, you go, okay, you got your guy.
Yeah, and I wonder
that's it.
I wonder how close he is in the grand scheme of things in this system and learning it to being able to do that. Like, Tom Brady's at a level 10 within his ability to process and prepare for the, you know, the things that can happen in a 5% chance.
Yeah.
C.J. Stroud just said after that Charger game, he said it this week, that was his best processing game of the season, where he was able to go out there see and anticipate and understand and check into, you know, the proper plays. And okay, so if he's picking that up game 16 into the regular season, where it's the first time that he's, you know, run this system.
Yeah.
Well, what can an entire offseason do? What can, you know, the first handful of games next year do for a guy like C.J. Stroud, who is, regardless of what a damn piece of paper said of his intelligence level coming into the NFL, you could see away, this guy's freaking smart as hell. He knows his football. That's what we were all saying his rookie year. How quickly can a guy flourish, like, even come close to what Brady was able to process, and how?
Yeah, look, it's going to – to me, the bigger story is the Belichick piece here. Right?
Okay.
I mean, the Belichick and McDaniel piece, because, yes, when Tom Brady got into the league, there's some other audio out there that is priceless. It's beautiful audio that, you know, he's talking about how, you know, he wasn't great at all the different languages in school and this and that, all these different subjects in school. But when he looked at a playbook, he had a photographic memory when it came to a playbook. So once he saw a play once, it was boom, he was done with it.
Yeah.
So you could tweak things and it was a different animal, right? So CJ is going to need to be, to some degree, be able to do those things. But to me, the bigger piece is more about, you know, Nick Caley making sure that the mechanisms are in the offense to allow CJ to do that. Like, I still question that. Because right now, one of the things that I'm – like, I've accepted it's going to take multiple – this is going to have to be a 2 or 3 year commitment to Nick Caley to see if this thing is ever going to work, right? I mean, that's the kind of stuff we're talking here, number one. Number two, like, I would expect to hear more from C.J. Stroud at the line of scrimmage if those mechanisms were built in for him to – even if he was wrong.
Yeah.
Right? Even if he was wrong half the time and they were talking about, well, C.J. made a bad decision. Even if he were wrong – like, I would expect to see more of it. So I wonder if those mechanisms are actually in this offense yet, if they put them in.
Yeah,
and then you got
maybe not.
Well, then you've got the DeMeco Ryans and the Bill Belichick dynamic of, does DeMeco have the time, the know-how, the want to sit in an office, you know, hours on hours at night and meet with Tom Brady – or C.J. Stroud, you know, and go over what these, not just go over once a week and, hey, we went over what the strengths and weaknesses are, the defense, but to go through the game plan, you know. So it's just so much bigger. So often in this world, we get caught up, and as fans, we get caught up in, boy, that was a big time throw, or boy, that was a Superman moment. The reality is here, man, this is what we're waiting on.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating, and maybe that answers my question and maybe a lot of fans' questions, in the sense that, look, a lot of people are not Nick Caley fans. But once you've made the commitment as an organization with your franchise quarterback to have them run this system, to teach this system, do you stray from it after a year, after 2 years? Do you mess up a guy's mind or try to change things so much? Like, say, you know what, CJ's better suited for this. But CJ, at the point of his career, he's 24, about to be 25, and going to be going on year four. He'll have done, like, potentially three different schemes here, three different offensive systems. How do you know which one he's really best suited for? You know, I mean, this does seem like a long-term commitment. It just may not be, and this is way down in the future maybe, but it may not be that Nick Caley's the guy to take him to that next level, but maybe somebody else that understands the system a little bit better can teach it.
And I know this is going to rub a lot of people the wrong way, but you also may, C.J. Stroud may not be the guy to for this offense. Like, what are you going to commit to?
Yeah,
I think the reality of it is is you look at the league as it sits right now. The best version of Lamar Jackson that we've ever seen. And now Lamar is throwing the football better than a lot of ignorant skeptics ever thought he would. But when you look at Lamar, like the best version of the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson, I believe was back with Ingram and the running back crew where they were running for thousands of yards and throwing. It was an equal kind of a balanced deal, right? It wasn't so much we're going to throw it and Lamar's going to be good, but then he's going to scramble around. It was more design stuff. All right, that was the best, and he was a perfect fit for what they were doing. You look at Josh Allen right now. Like, when they get into the playoffs, it's going to be a heavy dose of quarterback plus one run game. He's 250 pounds. He's a big dude. It's going to be a big part of what they do. He is a perfect fit for what they do. Use him in the run game, force a safety in the box, get singled up outside, throw shots or throw quicks. Right? Yep. I mean, he is a perfect fit for what they do. Right, Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes, they married the West Coast offense to an air raid offense, and it was a perfect fit for what they did. Andy Reid and Pat and the freestyle stuff ended up being a perfect fit. Like, to have that level of success, there needs to be a level of fit that is like elite, right?
Yeah.
And you just wonder, and I don't wonder so much of can CJ fit this offense so much as does he fit a different one better?
Right. Right,
because I'm going to tell you, you put C.J. Stroud in an offense like what Joe Burrow's in, with those kind of weapons. I mean, he would put up ridiculous numbers.
Yeah,
right. So it's not a C.J. can or can't. It's not a Kaylee can or D'Amico can or can't. It's one of those like, can it all work together, or is it not a great fit?
Were they not able to determine that after seeing his first 2 years under Slowick? Why the decision to go with Nick Kaylee and teach him this system? Do they feel like, or did they ascertain
I don't think that was a quarterback-specific decision. I think that's a Nick Kaylee, Nick Caserio.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they made that determination, with Stroud. Like, what? He's going to benefit. We're going to benefit longer term here.
No, this is the offense. This is where the offense we're going to run. This is clearly a group that doesn't believe in fitting, offensively anyway, fitting their players, if you will, to the
scheme and the system. Yeah, I got you.
Now, whether it's by design or by injury, that just hadn't been the way it's played out on the offensive side of the football. All right, the college football playoff final four is set. Who impressed you the most? Who you rolling with the rest of the way? We'll talk about the semifinals, the college football playoff semifinals next right here on Sports Radio 16.